Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. And I got a little mea culpa here. But it's a very, 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 very tiny mea culpa in the midst of an otherwise astute point by me last night. So last night on Twitter, Ray, I kind of had a bozo moment. Because I'm not like
you?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
All right.
But contained within it was an astute observation. So here's what I wrote last night. I don't have the exact time, but it was – well, actually, I do have the exact time. It's 10:23. Here's what I wrote.
Because you said it in the tweet?
Yeah, I said it in the tweet. So, Ray, here's what I wrote on
– You just had another bozo moment.
Yes, yes.
Your time's on the screen.
Correct. All right, so last night I wrote, I love baseball, and especially Phillies baseball, but these games just take too long. It's 10:23 p.m. right now, and we are in the bottom of the seventh of a 5-2 game. Just – ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the problem, Ray? What'd I do? In the words of Peter Laviolette, what's the problem now? I'll give you the answer.
Okay, please.
I was behind in watching on DVR.
Yes!
I was behind on DVR.
That's amazing.
And I forgot that I was behind on DVR. But let me just be really clear.
That is amazing. That's so awesome. But, like, so great. Thank you for doing that.
But let me be clear. Let me be, as Jack said in A Few Good Men.
When I heard it, I was like, that doesn't jive. I feel like I was done watching by like 10:30 or 10:40.
No, you weren't.
10:40 or something?
Let me be crystal clear. I was only 4 minutes behind. So literally, as soon as I said
it's not that
the
bad.
First guy that rose, he goes, actually, it's the eighth inning. And then I'm like... And I was like, oh, man, maybe because, you know, at one point I ordered food, like some phone call. So I was 4 minutes behind. The basic point of this game is taking a long time. Guys, the game ended at 10:57 last night. I mean, Ray, we love baseball. It's a what did it end up? 6-4?
6-4.
6-4 at 10:57 p.m. The game started, I guess, around 7:10. I mean, come on. So, yeah, bad by me, but. Come on, baseball.
No, your basic point stands.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Your basic point stands. I don't know. It seems like the Yankees play nothing but long games.
Oh.
In an era of slow baseball, it seems like the Yankees are the slowest of the slow.
Them and the Red Sox started this whole mess 15, 18 years ago saying we're going to take all these pitches.
Yeah.
And good for them. They had a lot of success with it. But, man, oh, man.
It makes it tough to watch.
Really,
I mean, but, you know, this. Well, we've had this discussion endlessly now about the state of baseball and the change of the game of baseball, and it's a hard game to watch. And that's coming from a guy who grew up with the game and loved the game and followed the game and everything. And I love just about everything about it, but not the way it's being played today.
Too much. All right, let's go to the phones. We got a lot of stuff to get to, including James actually dug up the audio a couple years ago, John, when I dropped an F-bomb. Now, of course, we're not going to play the F-bomb because that would get all of us fired, me in particular.
Yeah, not great.
But I dropped an F-bomb that we had a bleep. It was accidental. But our reaction to me dropping the F-bomb was unbelievable because it was so spontaneous. We were so shocked. And
it's the most unexpected thing still to this day that has ever happened on the show.
I mean,
without question. Like, if we had even bet, like, which of the three of us would be the one to actually do it, you would have been last.
Right.
Like, it was so shocking.
Well, listen, don't get me fired, okay?
No.
I mean, don't make me collateral damage in your mistake, all right?
Ray, you're going to be safe. I promise you. Full safety for Ray. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bruce right now. Yo, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, something I hadn't heard talked about at all. You know, we have this thing going on with the Phillies and the whole vaccine situation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL, though, one of the things that's been reported is that there are two teams that, as of this point, that are below 50% on the NFL. One of them is the Indianapolis Colts. And it got me thinking, I'm wondering how that might affect our first round pick if Carson doesn't end up doing 75% of the snaps because of being out for contact tracing or COVID or whatever.
Anything's possible. I don't know, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Now, one thing with Carson, of course, we know that Carson does a great job of social distancing. So he's
not so much anymore. We hear, but
I saw a video of him shooting hoops the other day. They had,
saw that, the knockout thing? Yeah, that was from like a month and a half ago or something.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. 2 months
knockout of the Colts.
It was he lost.
Him and someone else in the finals.
Yeah, it was the tight end, whatever his name is. I can't remember. Mo Alie-Cox, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Bruce, what were you going to say there?
No, that was pretty much it. Didn't he play basketball at some point? High school.
High school. In fact, I think his high school team, I think they went to the state finals when he was a senior. He was a very good high school basketball player. He was a recruit too, but obviously football was his game.
Yeah, I mean the video I saw looked like he had some game. I mean he looked pretty good. Bruce, give me success in TV and movies.
Well, this is kind of an off the wall one a little bit because it's TV was a long time ago, so I don't know if you remember it or not, but Denzel Washington.
And what was the show on TV?
Saint Elsewhere.
He was an ER doctor for 6 years.
Okay.
6 seasons. Before he that was his big break-in thing before movies.
There you go. All right, Bruce. Huh. Good stuff. I mean, that's obviously,
I didn't know that.
There's imbalance there, which is fine, but that's dramatic imbalance. But, you know, I guess, you know, some solid. Ray, when you think.
He's a great actor. He can do everything. He can be a good guy. He can be the most evil of bad guys. He can be an action guy. He can be a sensitive guy. I mean, what a great actor he is.
He might be my favorite.
I wouldn't argue that.
He really might be my favorite. Ray, when you think success in TV and movies, the combo, who comes to mind for you? Can't be a bit part in either genre. You got to be pretty solidly successful in both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you need some time to think on this one.
Well, one came to mind because somebody who was right before me sort of pre-cued me by saying, he said Demi Moore, which you rejected out of hand, and I kind of would too.
Yeah.
But her ex-husband, Bruce Willis.
Has been said, and it's a good answer.
I loved
Moonlighting.
Moonlighting was a great show. It was a great show, and Willis has certainly gone on to tremendous success in movies, so... That would be my pick.
Very solid. Let's talk to Lenny in Warminster. Hey, Lenny.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing great, Lenny.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little miffed with Aaron Nola. He seemed to me, you know, when watching Greg Maddux, he just seemed like to be a clone of Greg Maddux. I don't know what happened to this guy. I just don't.
I don't really either, man. He's just very average now, very average.
Yeah.
It is amazing, though, that they had somehow, this front office has bungled a lot, but somehow when they gave him his, you know, the contract that he's now playing under, they assessed him properly. Like when he signed the deal that he's playing on, I thought, man, they just ripped Aaron Nola off. Like coming off of being, you know, third for the Cy Young, just signed this deal, and I don't know what the money is. It's a pittance compared to the top pitchers in baseball.
It was like a 4-year, $40-something million deal.
I couldn't believe it at the time, and now it feels like wow, they got it right.
Now to be clear, it wasn't like he was a free agent. They were buying out some of his end of arbitration years.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it wasn't like 29 other teams could bid on him. It's a different deal. But I agree with you, John. It seemed very team friendly. Yeah. Lenny, give me success in TV and movies. Who do you have?
I can't think of anybody better than Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. Holy.
From Rawhide to what he does now, it's amazing what he's accomplished.
Well, in movies, he's an all-time giant. Ray, Clint Eastwood in TV? I mean, how much are we looking at here?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, that old show, I guess it predates you and John.
Yeah.
But it was an old black and white Western called Rawhide. It was about a cattle drive that went on. It was the longest cattle drive in history. It went on for like 7 years. but he played one of the cowboys in the drive. He was like second lead in the show.
And how many years are we looking at here?
How many years ago or how many years did the show
run? How many years was the show?
I got to say 4 or 5 years at least.
So it's... pretty solid answer.
And it was in its time a very successful show, very popular.
All right.
Yeah, it looks like he was on other shows too. you know, not huge parts, but it, he, from 1955 to 1965, essentially, he was on television.
Yeah, Rawhide was big. His name was, I still remember the name of his character. His character was named Rowdy Yates, was the name of
correct.
His character.
Correct. I'm looking at it right now. Well, Rowdy done, Yates. Ray, with a pull right there.
Ray, can you, let me tell you this. I certainly cannot name the character. Most of you guys probably don't even know this happened, that Al Michaels was in an episode of, wasn't it Hawaii 5-0?
Hawaii 5-0. He played an attorney.
Hawaii, John, did you know that? No. Al Michaels on Hawaii 5-0.
I know. No, I heard Al Michaels talk about it in an interview.
You can look it up. Yeah. It is on YouTube. He goes into a jail cell to interview like a prisoner. He's like the, he's almost like the public defender. He's sort of a real, he's like a third echelon lawyer, not particularly good. And he's got sort of like a perm haircut and everything. You have to kind of look close to make sure it's Al Michaels. When he talks, when you hear his voice, there's no question it's Al Michaels. But you can find it. It's Al Michaels, Hawaii 5-0.
Tremendous. All right, let's go to Linda right now. What's up, Linda?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Linda.
Doing well, Linda.
I was actually calling, I originally called for Ben Simmons. Yeah. I had a question, though. Somebody had mentioned it on a show a while ago when I was listening. What do you guys think of them not trading Ben in the off season, keeping him until the regular season starts, and then trying to trade him?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, listen, it might have to come to that if they don't like the possibilities of what they can get for him, but I don't like that.
No, I don't. I agree. I don't like it either. I was just wondering what you guys thought the option was.
I don't know why. Why would his value go up?
Yeah.
Because when next the thinking
to
is
play better in the regular season, yeah. Maybe.
But that's what we've seen every year. We see him play better in the regular season and fall apart in the postseason.
I mean, I guess it could, but I also think it would only go up so much. I don't think these GMs are going to be that fooled. I mean, let me put it this way, Linda: if Ben Simmons came back with a jump shot, a desire to get fouled, and an ability to make foul shots, then sure, his value could go up dramatically. I just don't think any of that will happen.
Right, right.
I mean, right, right. I mean, reasonable? I mean,
yeah, no, totally reasonable. Although I don't rule out the possibility that what our caller is saying could happen.
It could happen, sure.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes back next year, look, you know what it's going to be. He's going to start next year, and he's going to be Ben Simmons. And he's going to, you know, the regular season, which is utterly meaningless, he's going to put up his big numbers. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be defensive player of the year. He's going to be all of that stuff, none of which matters in the grand scheme of things, but he will. And at midseason, then maybe his value will be greater than it would be right now. I don't know that that's really the case. I think the teams around the NBA kind of know, at this point, they kind of know what Ben is. I don't think they're going to be fooled by an all-star first half of next season.
Yeah,
that's
but,
the way I feel.
But if you don't, but if you really don't like what's on the table for him now, you know, you're not gonna trade him for 10 cents on the dollar.
All right, Linda, success in movies and TV. Who do you have?
John Travolta.
Travolta, there you go. All right,
Matt Cotter.
Sure, that'll work.
That's a good one.
It is a pretty good one. Yeah. All right, let's get to this audio from it's about 2 years ago. Ray, we promise you, we're not going to get you in any trouble. You're not going to get fired.
I'm going to hold you to that.
No one's going to hear a curse here. There's no curse. We're not going to play a curse. What we are going to play is the audio that happened before a curse and the audio that happened after a curse. And it's the after the curse that's really the thing. Because what you'll hear is me, John, and James acting like little 12-year-olds that can't stop laughing because for 25 or 30 seconds we couldn't stop laughing. It's regular conversation. I'm fired up about something. And I do drop an F-bomb, totally inadvertent, never made the air, we dumped it. But I was also very scared thereafter. Like, oh my
yeah, God. you were shook. Yeah, you were shook by it. You're like, did my career just end? I know.
Am
I
about to get fired?
Yeah.
I mean.
I know. I remember how shook you were. Like, I remember being like, it's okay, Joe, you're going to be okay.
I probably turned white. I'm thinking, I hope the dump button system works.
Yeah, well,
blah,
sure.
Blah, blah.
Sure.
Like, I probably turned like ghost white, pale white. All right, let's go back about 2, maybe even 3 years ago. Me and John were chatting. It's a normal day here on WIP, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
Why do you need credit?
I need credit for the 50-5 hammer.
Why do you need credit?
I want credit because the Sixers are going to go to the finals.
What is it? What
ring
do you need
the,
it for
I want
it?
Wow. Because I got this guy. I got Richie.
Wow.
All right, 888-729-9494.
It's
go to the phones.
Wow, that's a first.
Let's go. All right, 888-729-9494. Show to Cameron, John, Richie. Richie, can you compose yourself over there? Can you get it together? Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I can't. I don't know what to do.
All right.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
So what do we do there?
Can we go to the phones? Can we go to the phone, Seltzer?
All right, and that is how it sounds. Not my finest moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, it's so good.
I was so scared. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to get fired. That was unbelievable. And John, your laugh is unbelievable.
I was crying, man. Just crying.
Like, how do we do a show now? What do we do now?
It's just Joe, for everything that Joe brings to the table, he's always very he's a pro. He knows what he's doing.
A pro's pro.
Totally just lost that for that one moment. Saw so red that he just lost control.
Do you realize what a hero Seltzer is?
Oh, say my
career. For those 8 seconds, he held your life in his hands. He could have sunk you forever, big boy.
And so right.
But he bailed you out. You owe him. I never knew that happened, but you owe him big time.
Big time. Big time I owe Seltzer. All right, let's go to Mark right now. Mark, you're on WIP. Mark.
Hey,
buddy.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, man.
Hey, yeah, it's great to be on with Ray, as always.
How are you?
So, good. Thank you, Ray. So Joe, you're saying, to get back to the Eagles, you're saying the Eagles are a good organization.
I do believe they are. I think they've hit a huge bump in the road, but I think the Eagles are a good organization. I do believe that.
So what happened to things like gold standard?
They weren't the gold standard. Well, a couple things. First off, they weren't the gold standard when Lurie said that. It was a stupid thing to say. Let's start with that. It never should have been said. What happened with the new norm? I'll tell you exactly what happened with the new norm. What happened with the new norm is a head coach said something provocative, which we all rallied around and thought was cool. But in the end, the reality is, other than the Patriots when they had Brady, teams don't generally sustain excellence winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl. I mean, Denver won the Super Bowl in 2015. They came right back down in the pack. I mean, right back down in the pack. A lot of teams do. So I think, Mark, that one of the things I'm trying to drive at today to kind of convince people of, and maybe not successfully, is how difficult it is to sustain success in the NFL. It's hard.
Well, Sure, it is. But you know what? The premier teams do it, and we should be a premier team. The team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia is a great city. I've been all
it's
over the world,
city.
And I can tell you,
it's just a,
you know,
it's just
we
a
deserve.
But Mark, it's a short list. I mean, the teams that have really sustained success. Let's just talk the last decade. Basically, are the Patriots, the Steelers. Who, by the way, Steelers haven't won a Super Bowl in the last decade, but they sustained success. Baltimore. The Saints, for the most part, not entirely. I think they had three straight years. I think they went 7-9, but otherwise, they've had a really good last 10 years.
Sure, it's hard, but they. But
it's
they
also
do
a lot of it's quarterback play, though. I mean, if Carson had delivered on the promise of what he's supposed to be, you could overcome some of those Arthego inside picks.
Why should we accept being mediocre or just above average, which kind of to me,
you don't have to accept it.
But that's what you're saying. You're sticking your flag in the ground of we're a good, it's a good organization. Well, it hasn't acted like a good organization recently.
Right. Well, you're not wrong recently, but I think part of my point, Mark, is for the most part, I think Lurie's done a great job hiring coaches. Not everyone, but for the most part. And so
we've gone through 8 of them. Since he took over,
they haven't gone through 8. I
seven
guess
or eight. Sure,
well, it's not 7 or 8.
No,
it's not 7 or 8. It's 4. Don't count Kotite. Don't count Kotite. 94 Kotite.
Well, what about Ray Rose?
Ray, Andy, Chip, Doug.
And Doug.
Now you're at five.
Now you're at five.
I mean, over 25 years, Mark. Are you kidding me? That's not bad.
Well, it's not great either. But, you know, the point is,
it's pretty good in my book.
They've all won.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Three of the four have been Coach of the Year. You haven't had. We don't know where things are going with Nick Sirianni. But honestly, one of the reasons I'm willing to give Nick Sirianni the benefit of the doubt is because Lurie has generally hired good coaches.
Yeah,
I mean, you haven't had Matt Patricia. You know, you haven't had Jim Zorn. You haven't had Steve Spurrier. I mean, you haven't had any of those guys come stumbling through here. I mean, all the coaches he's brought in here have been able to coach.
And even Chip, who I think it's fair to say in the end was the worst, two of his 3 years won 10 games.
Won 10 games, and he won the division his first year.
Yeah, and he's the worst of the group.
Yep. I want to claim foul. The fact that Ray is near there with Ray and he's on your side, this completely changes the game for me, okay? I can't possibly win. Arguing against.
Well, it's like trying to tell Obi-Wan he's wrong about the Force. I mean, you would never attempt such a conversation. Mark, exactly.
Ray. But the bottom line is this organization well run?
I would say right now, the last few years, no. But I think if you look at it on balance, if you look at what they've been since he bought the team, I think that they've been a well-run organization. And, organizations are going to go off the rails from time to time. I mean, but I think that if you look at from the time that he bought this team in 95 to where they are now, I think they have been, by and large, a well-run franchise. I mean, they got to do some things differently I'm not happy with where they are at the moment, but I think that Lurie's ownership, it's certainly been the best ownership they've had with this franchise, which goes back to 1933. And I think over the course of that whole time, which is a quarter of a century, I think they've been good more than they've been bad.
All right, Mark, success in TV and movies. Who do you have?
I'm going to give you one. It's not super mainstream, but when you look at the guy's career, it's been a long, successful career in both. And even music, Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah, sure.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a winning answer. Mark's in Cincinnati. I don't think he was trying.
Guys, there are some huge answers that haven't been said. I'm just going to I've refrained, but a huge answers. I'm going to stop right there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm shocked you stopped.
I'm the man of the people, James. I'm not out to steal people's answers.
Sure.
Yep. I don't want to take Philly's tickets away from people.
Mm-hmm.
215.
Today.
215-592-9494. Up ahead, more with Ray. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, plus Time's Yours at 145 on WIP.